Thank you, Orchestra Choir and our praise band. Well, about a month or two ago, I was having my quiet time. That wasn't the last time I had a quiet time. But I was reading Psalm 32. Let me ask you a question. How many of you, don't show hands, but how many of you have done something, I mean it was a sin, you regretted it? And you've asked for God's forgiveness. God's cleansed you, but you just can't ever forget it. Well, I want you to know Psalm 32, verse 1 through 5, is for all of us who've had that experience. So Psalm 32, begin with verse 1, if you would. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groanings all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sins. The British author, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, wrote the Sherlock Holmes series. One day he decided to play a trick on his 12 closest friends. He sent a telegraph to his 12 closest friends. For those of you who are teenagers, that would have been the modern day text. And here's what he sent to all 12 of his closest friends. Here it is. I quote it for you. Flee at once. All has been discovered. Now, how would you like to get a text like that? Within 24 hours, all of his friends had fled the country. Now, I don't suggest you do that to people today. Some of you today might be on a guilt trip, and that's the worst trip that you'll ever take. Psalm 32 is like a brain scan. It's like an MRI of our heart. And we see how David went from the guilt of his sins to the glory of forgiveness. Let's notice, first of all, the problem of concealed sin there in verse 3. He says, when I kept silent about my sin, my bones wasted away through my groanings all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me and my strength was sapped as if I was in the heat and the humidity of Georgia in the summertime. David described his pain. He says, I'm groaning all the day long, day and night. He said, your hand is on me. He says, I am a bothered man. Well, what bothered David? Well, Psalm 51 is the sister psalm, the Psalm 32. And notice what David said in Psalm 51, verse 3. He said, for I know my transgressions and my sins are always before me. I can't forget them. It was the thoughts of his sin, the guilt that he was feeling for his sin that bothered him. He was a man with a conscience that was absolutely out of control. Back in 1811, someone had defrauded the IRS out of $5 on their taxes. It was delinquent. I guess they didn't want to pay penalties, so they sent an anonymous check to the IRS for $5. Well, some bright soul in Congress or the Senate came up with this idea, and they decided to set up a guilty conscience fund. It's called the Conscience Fund in Washington, D.C. And if you feel like you owe the government more money or you think you've defrauded the government, at any time you can send a check to our federal government to the Conscience Fund. Now, I want you to know that since its inception in 1811, they've collected $3.5 million. In 1986, they took in $390,000, and one individual sent in a $190,000 check. When you look at the psalmist, we see a man. His conscience was bothered, and he was drowning in his guilt. Well, why was that? Well, he was having an affair. And he had the husband of the woman he was having an affair with put on the front lines so that he would be killed. So here's a man that's guilty of adultery and also murder. And for whatever reason, instead of coming clean and confessing this to the Lord, he decided to harbor it in his heart. And then David began to have problems. Notice what he says here. The first thing he said, my body was weakened. Psalm 32 verse 3 says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. Have you ever ached all the way to your bones? Delaney and I got that second COVID shot. And when the pharmacist hit us in the arm there 5 minutes apart, she looked at us with a sweet smile and said, this is Wednesday, and whatever you have planned for Thursday, go ahead and cancel it right now. Well, I felt the best I'd ever felt. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up shaking just like this under the cover. And I was running a fever and chills. Delaney started with it. And we were sick for 36 hours. And I want you to know it hurt all the way to the bone. That's the way David says. He said, I was hurting all the way in my bones because of my sin. Now listen to me carefully. The man who is saved but is not in fellowship with God is going to have an experience like this. What was it that was making David so miserable? It was not David's sin, it was his silence. He thought he would just get away from this, but the sin of silence began to deplete his physical strength. He tells us that his bones wasted away. Your bones are the strongest part of your body. He said they're wasting away. What David was saying was that sin weakened his greatest strength and strengthened his greatest weakness. David's sin was his wound, but his silence was the infection. So he says, my bones are aching. My body hurts so much I just groan all the time. Some of you with arthritis know what that's about. Doctors now know that the psyche affects the body. Some doctors have done research and said up to 80% of our illnesses are psychosomatic. That's the cause. So sin and guilt can show up in so many ways physically. It can show up in insomnia. You're unable to sleep. It can show up in a loss of appetite, migraine headaches, ulcerated stomach. It can affect you physically. But then David says in verse 4, he said it wearied his spirit. He said, for night and day, your hand was heavy on me. So we see he was affected spiritually. Ladies and gentlemen, when we sin and we keep it unconfessed and that's premeditated and habitual, God is not going to let us go. When you're in the hand of God and you sin, you try to get away, and you stay in that sin, God just tightens the squeeze on us spiritually. David says, I was miserable because God wanted him to be miserable. He won't be happy because God's not going to let him be happy. So the pain of guilt, he says, was just unbelievable physically and spiritually. And then notice what else he says, it washed out my soul. Verse 4b, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. When there's dirt in your heart, listen carefully, there's going to be a drought in your soul. See, the heavens had turned to brass in his eyes, and God had shut off the showers of blessing, and David's life had become a desert. His life was now marked by dreariness. It was marked by dryness, depression, and despair. Now let's look at the positive side today. Let's look at the process, how you move from sin and guilt through the process of healing with God. David's conviction, notice in verse 5a, he says, then I acknowledge my sin to you. There's a confession. And he said, I did not cover up my iniquity. David came to the point where he admitted his sin to God. Now, you'll never acknowledge your sin until first you're convicted of your sin by the Holy Spirit. There's a process that leads to cleansing. David was convicted spiritually. And what I mean is David had been convicted of his sin by the Spirit of God. When you go to the book of Revelation, you'll find that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Satan will not be specific with your sins. Satan will say, listen, you remember what you did in the past? You're no good. God can't use you. He can't ever use you. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's a district attorney that always presses false charges. But I want you to write this down. The Holy Spirit always convicts us specifically of what sin or sins we have committed. That is one way that you can discern whether this is false guilt or this is true guilt, whether it's Satan accusing you or the Holy Spirit is accusing you. Now, the difference is monumental. Satan will accuse you of sins that are already forgiven. The Holy Spirit will convict you of sins that we have never, ever confessed. Satan digs up the trash of forgiven sins that's already been buried in the deepest, darkest part of the sea, never to be held to our account again, separated as far as the east is from the west. We have a Fifth Amendment in the Constitution. I don't know how much longer the Constitution is going to hold up with present administration. But right now, there is a constitutional law that says that if you're accused of a crime, you're tried, and you're found not guilty, you're found innocent, you cannot be tried again for that same crime. They call that double jeopardy. You got to remember that when you confess sin and get forgiveness of that sin, the Holy Spirit cannot, will not, He will never bring that sin up to you again. David, furthermore, was convicted specifically. Notice David acknowledges sin singular to God. He said, when the Holy Spirit convicts you, He will never convict you of that sin generally. He's always very specific. The Holy Spirit, on the other hand, will convict you for specific sins. He'll not just say you're mean. He'll not say you're impatient. The Holy Spirit will say you've been mean to your wife. You have been impatient with your children. You have not forgiven somebody. You're still living in bitterness. And He will call a name alongside that sin. We see here David's contrition. Look at verse 5. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Now, when he says, and did not cover up my iniquity, all David's pride and pretense had been cast aside. He's humbled himself before the Lord, and he had opened up the files of his life and let God's Bureau of Investigation inspect every nook and cranny of his heart, mind, and soul. In other words, David just came clean. He came transparent with God. Now look at David's confession down here in verse 5c. He said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Confession is the only knife that can lance the boil of sin and remove the infection of our guilt. Now understand carefully what the word confession means. It doesn't mean you just admit to your sin. It means that you agree with God about what He already knows that you committed. He already knows about the sin of our lives. We're agreeing with Him. You not only admit your sin to God, but you agree with God. In other words, it means you take God's side against your sin. You're either on sin's side and against God, or you're on God's side and you're against sin. Now, this type of confession will lead to cleansing. David confesses sin. Look at verse 5d. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. I want you to write this progression down if you take notes. Very, very important. First of all, you have conviction from the Holy Spirit. Then contrition takes place. then confession, and then the cleansing. Conviction leads to contrition. Contrition leads to confession, and confession leads to cleansing. Here's a critical point that needs to be understood. False guilt feels exactly like real guilt. You cannot tell the difference between false guilt and true guilt by how you feel. Your feeler will always return to the same verdict for you, guilty for both of those. You can confess false guilt until you turn blue in the face, but you will still feel guilty. As a matter of fact, you'll even feel more guilty because you feel guilty after you confess your sin, because you still feel guilty. Now, you've got to be 50 years of age or over to understand what I'm about to share with you. I think the one of the worst tests in the medical field is a colonoscopy. And I want you to know that I've never had little man syndrome. I've never had that. If I'd have been 6'5", 300 pounds, I'd be in jail. Because there's certain people I would have eliminated from this world. But I've never had little man syndrome. The thing that I think is so unfair is that when you're given a prescription to go to a pharmacy, a person who is 6'5", 300 pounds, and the person who weighs 160 pounds and 5'9 and shrinking, they have to drink the same amount of that gallon jug. That is totally unfair. Amen to that? Don't you agree with that? That's just crazy. You know, that stuff can kill you. And I just don't like it. You know, I had to miss a Sunday. I guess it was back the last quarter of last year. And somebody said, "Where was the pastor?" I said, "Well, just tell him I'm at home studying for an exam." And that's what I was doing. You know, that stuff tastes terrible. And now they've added flavors. You know what? It continues to taste terrible. Delane goes to the store and buys me Crystal Light. I don't care if I ever taste Crystal Light again in my life. I hope you're not a sales representative for them, but that stuff is nasty. And so your biggest fear when you're me and Delane takes you there, you have a designated driver. And then this year it was 90 degrees, and they said, because of COVID last year, they said she has to sit in the parking lot in the heat for 2.5 hours. She cannot come in the waiting room. And I told the girl when she called me, I said, "Well, she'll be carrying a pistol that day." She said, "I don't blame her, in our parking lot." So she was pistol packing in the parking lot with the air conditioning on her smart pad. And then your biggest fear is that when you walk in that examining room, they give you a designer gown, that the girl that's going to assist with your procedure is in the choir at your church. That's your worst fear in the whole world. Isn't that right, Brother Fred? You just don't want that to happen. But you know, that test is so important. Some people say, "I'll never have that." But you know, we have to drink all that liquid so that our colon is clean, so that... Now listen, I don't understand why a doctor feels called to be a gastroenterologist. I don't have any idea why he does that. But everything is clear so he can check for polyps and do what? He can prevent cancer. It's very, very curable if it's caught in time. If we don't take time to allow that conviction to come, that contrition, and then that confession, allow the Lord to just cleanse us from sin, I want you to know that all just gets larger and larger and larger, and more damage is done in our life. Let me ask you a question. How easy is it to just humble yourself before God and confess what you've done? It's a little humiliating. But I want you to know that when we do that, God's desire for us is spiritual health. And we must do what is necessary to deal with our sin so we can stay in good spiritual health. And notice the priceless gift of forgiveness. David's psalm doesn't begin with the burden of guilt, but rather with the blessing of grace. Look at verse 1 and 2. He tells us of the blessings of being forgiven. The word blessed, of course, means happy or happiness. He says, after I was cleansed, he said, my happiness was restored. He was happy internally because he had the peace of God. He was happy externally because he had peace with God. And he was happy eternally because he has peace in God forever. Why is that? His sin was forgiven. Verse 1, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. That word forgiveness in the Hebrew language means to lift a burden off of somebody else's shoulders. That is exactly what forgiveness is. It's when the strong hand of our gracious God comes along and takes the heavy stone of guilt off our shoulders, and then he carries it away. That's a reminder of Psalm 102, verse 3. For my days vanish like smoke. My bones burn like glowing embers. That's why we sing that old hymn, burdens are lifted at Calvary. That's what God does when he cleanses us from our sins. Notice the second thing, and I love this. His sin was forgotten. Whose sin is covered. Psalm 32, verse 1b. Not only was his sin covered, but his sin was canceled. Those of you who are not, have that many years of age in your life, remember Nixon's impeachment. Right now we have presidents and vice presidents committing things that are making Nixon look like Little League, and they don't get impeached. But I want you to know that when Ford was promoted to president, what did he do? Do you remember what happened? That's right. He pardoned Richard Nixon. So I want you to know he was free from all the charges. But guess what? Here we are in 2021, and we remember what Richard Nixon did. So he was covered by a pardon, but his sin was not forgotten. God covers sin. He says, no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know me from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. And the Lord cleanses us in Jeremiah 31:34, for I forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins. How long? No more. When God forgives sins, he locks them in a vault, throws away the key, casts the vault and our sins in the sea. And that sea is called mercy, never to be held to our account again. Then his sin was forsaken. Psalm 32:2 says, blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When we talk about that word impute, we're talking about charging somebody's account. When you confess your sin to God, he will never again charge your account for that sin. Your slate is clean. That's something that only God can do. We can send people to a certified counselor or to a psychologist or a psychiatrist to teach you how to deal with the feelings of guilt. But I want you to know that no psychologist or psychiatrist can take away 1 ounce of guilt. They can analyze it, they can rationalize it, they can medicate it, they can vocalize it, but they cannot neutralize it, they can't paralyze it, because no man can cope with guilt alone. He's got to be cleansed by the blood of Christ. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned? First sin ever committed. Well, Adam really didn't know what to do with that. So what did they do? They hid from God until finally God caught up with them, and God tried to help him. Adam tried to cover up his sin. Even though guilt is an inside job, man needs outside help to get over the guilt of their sin. I was reading the other day about Tony Evans. Now, I don't know about you, but I just love to hear Tony Evans preach. He's outstanding. He said he went to one of his kids' football games years ago. He said, I got excited. He said, I had a Coca-Cola in my hand. He said, when I got excited, I threw the Coca-Cola up in the air. It landed all over my shirt. Well, there's a stain right there. And he said, man, that got off with me so bad. But he said, you know, I kind of relaxed because, he said, my wife has spot remover and Tide at home next to the washing machine. He said, but I want you to know I tried to spot it. I tried to get it out the best I could. I know when I get stains, you know, I'll get ketchup on me when I go to lunch sometime when I'm eating my tofu and my health food. And I'll wipe over it with a paper towel and I'll blot it and things like that. And when I get home, Delaine says, you know what you did? No, darling. She said, you made it worse. And one thing Tony Evans said that I love, he said, you know, when I spilled that Coke on myself, he said, I didn't take my shirt off there in the stadium and order a big Coke and douse my whole shirt down in that Coca-Cola so the whole shirt would be stained. He said, you don't want to just continue to mess up after you messed up. Don't that make sense? So we have confession, and we shouldn't abuse the privilege of confession. We get into sin, it's premeditated, habitual, we just stay in it and stay in it. Say, well, I can confess it, and then I'll go back to that sin tomorrow. The point is to confess our sins when we need to, because life happens, not to engage in as much sin as possible, because God has made it possible to confess our sins to Him. He cleanses. He forgets. Never to be held to our account again. I love 1 John 1:9. It says simply, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to cleanse us. What? Forgive us from how much? All unrighteousness. He'll purify us from all unrighteousness. God cleanses. Amen. Sin covered can never be held to our account again. You know what that does? That helps my bones feel better. My strength physically is not zapped. My spirit is renewed, and my soul is recharged. And one day, when God calls us home, He's going to present us before the Father without spot, without wrinkle, like we never sinned one time in our life. Let me ask you a question. Why do we have so much trouble sharing that good news with lost people? Will you stand right where you are, heads bowed, eyes are closed? Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting us with us today. Another very simple message. But there's so many people, born-again believers, who live in the bondage of guilt. There's things they did, just can't ever forgive themselves. You've forgiven them. You've cleansed them. It's time we took you at your word and live with spiritual freedom instead of the bondage of false guilt for confessed sins. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, I'm going to invite you to do that. Jesus lived and He never sinned. And then He willingly offered His body as a sacrifice for your sins and mine. We can't earn salvation. Our works won't do it, our good deeds. Only the blood of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Romans 10, we find these words, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In other words, just accept the free gift. If you do that today, I invite you to come and make that public. If you're not sure how to do that, Billy and I will be standing at the front. We'll be glad to share with you, meet with you after this service. Ted and the Family Life Center will do the same. If you're here today and you've already trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, I invite you to come be a candidate for baptism and church membership. If you're a guest here and you've been here praying about where God wants you to invest your life and your spiritual gifts, I invite you to come. We'll write for you a letter. We'll take care of the details, but only come if God has given you peace in your heart that you need to be a part of this little church in Silver Creek that touches lives here, our nation, and around the world. Lord, I want to thank you in advance for public and private decisions that are about to be made. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Ted's coming forward with the praise band over in the Family Life Center, the contemporary service. Billy and I will be standing at the front. You can come. If you're uncomfortable doing that, we'll be at the Welcome Center after the service. If you have a decision or a prayer need, we'll be glad to meet with you there and take you to one of our offices. So Mark's going to lead us now. You come as God speaks to your heart.